Thank you, and good job, Mainline. How many decisions have you made already this morning? A bunch. You may not have thought about it. You decided at what point you'd get out of the bed. You decided that you were going to wear what you've got on right now instead of something else in your closet. We make all kinds of minor decisions throughout the day, and a lot of those we don't even think about what we're doing. We just sort of do it by habit. Choose this, choose that. But then there's the major decisions of life. How much time did you put into really just thinking about, if you were a Christian at the time, praying about marrying the person you're married to right now? And I know some smart aleck's thinking, I didn't think enough. It's too late now, though. Some of you thought about for a long time what instrument. You were very musically inclined. You were going to play something. You had to think about it. You made a decision, and you stuck to it. You made a decision about what kind of job you were going to get or what kind of career you were going to pursue. Now, I want you to think, in all these decisions, we normally have a lot of options. You can choose between multiple choices. That's just the way most decisions in life are, except for the most important decision of life. When it comes to life's ultimate decision, there's only two options. And Jesus made them clear in Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. I want you to turn with me there and leave your Bibles open, because we're just going to camp out on verses 13 and 14. What we're going to see in this passage, Jesus said it on multiple occasions in different ways. Matthew chapter 7 is coming to the end of the Sermon on the Mount that begins in chapter 5. As he's sort of winding down, he's calling us to think about which road we are going down in life. In terms of, there's only two. What he calls the road to destruction, or the road of life, or the road to life. A little bit later on in chapter 7, verse 24, the last real paragraph, Jesus talks about there's two foundations that each person builds their life upon, one of those two. A solid foundation, a foundation built on His teaching, like a rock foundation, or a sand foundation, really, which is no foundation at all. The kind of life you build when you ignore the truth of God's Word. Life's ultimate decision. That's what Jesus is talking about in verses 13 and 14. And He says it, He describes it in terms of taking two ways, two paths, two roads. Let's read it. He says, "Enter by the narrow gate. For the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction. And those who enter by it are many. For the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life. And those who find it are few." Two options. Two directions you're going to go. Two paths we all take. I want us to think about them in terms of a road. Number one, life's ultimate decision. You have to choose between two roads for your trip through this world, and each of the roads will take you to a final destination. Let's look at them. Let's think first the road to destruction that Jesus describes in verse 13, beginning with the second sentence. Read it again. "For the gate is wide and the way, or the road. NIV uses the word road. For the gate is wide, and the way, or the road, is easy, that leads to destruction, and those who enter by it are many. Jesus says there's two options, there's two roads you can take as you live your life, the way you're going to live your life. One of them is called the road to destruction, and the entryway, the gate, is wide. Now, this gate actually stands for maybe a person or a thing that you trust or that you depend on to guide you, to help you through this world and to take you to the next world. We know that's how he uses the word because, as we'll see in a moment, he refers to himself as the gate. So, what gate, a person or a thing, are you trusting? Are you depending on to guide you down the road that you are on right now in terms of the way you live, your way of looking at life, your way of living life, your way of making decisions? Are you depending just on you? A lot of people are just depending on their best choices, hunches, gut feelings, their own wisdom, their own intelligence. Maybe you're looking to another person. Maybe there's a certain person, maybe you know, maybe even a relative, a good friend, maybe a celebrity, maybe someone you've read about, and they're the person that you're really sort of counting on, looking to guide you through life. It could just be what you're counting on is just what's current in the world today, the world's mindset, the worldview of today's culture. You just sort of go with the flow kind of way. What are you depending on? What's guiding you along the path you are on right now in terms of just the way you live? Well, it can be anything because Jesus says the gate is wide. It can be whatever you want it to be. That's the world's way. Choose whatever you want. Let your conscience be your guide. Let somebody else's conscience be your guide. The way is open on the road to destruction. Now, the next thing we see about this road to destruction is the trip is easy because you're traveling down a broad, open road. Look at it again, verse 13. Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is easy. Or the gateway is wide that leads to destruction. Pathway is just wide open. You don't have to pay careful attention as you go. That's how Lisa says, I drive, as if, you know, you don't have to pay attention. She talks about me, I notice more what's on the side of the road than what's in front of me. That's not true, but she says those kind of things. I don't know why. Well, the road that we're talking about, the way that'll ultimately lead to destruction, it's just wide open. You don't have to really pay attention. You can just take it all in, pull off wherever you think you'll have the most fun. Because life on the road to destruction, and people who are on it don't call it the road to destruction. This is Jesus, what he's saying. Life on the road to destruction is all about having a good time. It's all about living for today. It's all about living for me. And on this way, people who live this way, who have this mindset, who are headed down this path, there's no such thing as right and wrong, or at least they suppress it. People who live this way, morality is just a relative thing. What's right for you may not be right for me. What you call sin, well, that's your opinion or that's your interpretation of what the Bible says. And after all, people who are on this road, the Bible may be a good book, but it's ancient. This is the 21st century. People who are on this road, the number one Bible verse in their mindset is, don't judge. You live the way you want to live, and I live the way I want to live. And don't you tell me I'm right or I'm wrong. Don't judge me. Just live and let live. You can be religious and be on this road. In fact, on the road to destruction, all religions are just basically equal. They'll eventually all take you to the same place if you believe sincerely and if you really do your best. Now, if you travel this road, if you travel the road to destruction, this broad way, just do what you want to do, live the way you want to live, there'll be a lot of people on the road with you. You'll have a good time. Jesus talked about there toward the end of verse 13, for those who enter by it are many. You never have to worry about being alone, standing out, taking a stand all by yourself or just with a few, because you'll be doing what everybody else is doing. This road we're talking about, this road that just basically ignores God. Jesus is a good guy. He was a great moral teacher, but that's it. Well, Jesus says this is the road to destruction, and it's easy, and a lot of people are on it, and they're having a lot of fun along the way. But this road doesn't end like the person who started out thought it would end. See, the road to destruction will take you to your eternal destination. It'll get you through life, but it won't take you where you want to go. The road to destruction is really the highway to hell. And that's what Jesus wants us to understand. Jesus brings this up before it's too late. Before it's too late to get off this road. That's why he says at the end of the Sermon on the Mount, be careful what you build your life upon. Be careful with the philosophy, the worldview, the mindset, the truth that you build your life upon. Because everything won't hold up in the end. And all roads don't lead to spending eternity with God in heaven. Jesus is really illustrating the warning of Proverbs when Proverb writes, there is a way that seems right to a man, but in the end, it leads to death. People who are on this easy, do whatever I want to do path in life, it just seems like the right way to live. It seems like it's the pathway of least resistance. But it'll end in death, separation from God. Because Jesus says it is the road to destruction. But that's not all Jesus says in these two verses, is it? That's not the only alternative. There's a different path we can take, a different road. It's the road to life. He begins by describing it in verse 13, the first sentence, and then finishes up in verse 14. Look at it. Jesus said, enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. Jesus says you enter the road to life through a narrow or small gate. And He is that gate. He is that entryway to this way of life. He made it clear throughout His ministry that there's only one way to be saved. There's only one way to be made right with God. Only one way to experience eternal life. And that's through Him. To illustrate what Jesus is saying here, look at John 10:9. Jesus actually said on another occasion, teaching different people, He said, I am the door, or some translations will say, I am the gate. Jesus said, I am the door, or I am the gate. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved. How simple, how much clearer can it be? Well, I think it is clearer one other place. In John 14, verse 6. Most of you, I think, know this. Look at it. Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Now, in this church, that's That's basically what's believed. It's what's taught. But outside this church, that is not well received. That's not believed. That's not politically correct. If you don't believe me, do this experiment. This coming week, talk to some people who are not Christians or who are just sort of nominal Christians. They show up at church every now and then, but they have no real commitment. You don't really see that Christ has made a difference in their life. And just bring it up. I'm not saying witness to them. I'm just saying bring it up. What do you think about all these different religions? Do they all basically teach the same thing? Will they all, if a person follows them, lead to the same place? Bring it up. How do you think a person goes to heaven when they die? What's involved? Very few people will even take seriously you telling them there's only one way to be right with God in this whole world, and that's through faith in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Some people will laugh at you. Some will be angry with you. Some will just think you're an idiot for thinking such a archaic, arrogantly exclusive, narrow-minded thought. Well, I want you to think about something with me. Is it always wrong to be narrow-minded? Should we always be seeking diversity in everything under the sun? If I have cancer, I want the doctor who examines me and prescribes treatment and medication to be a graduate of an accredited medical school and have all the advanced training and credentials, certificates, whatever they have to be an oncologist. Don't you? I don't want somebody who just loves people and has read a lot about cancer on the internet. I don't want them to be my doctor. I want a real person. And I don't think that's being narrow-minded, arrogantly exclusive. Let me ask you this. Is it unjust or unfair if there's only one life-saving option for treating my cancer? You know, if it turns out that I've got a certain kind of cancer and the only medication that will cure it is one particular thing, one particular shot, they're given a shot, I'm not going to be upset that I don't have multiple choices. It's not going to be a problem to me that I can't choose between several life-saving medications if this one will actually work and do the job. Would you? And I'm certainly not going to criticize or question the justice and goodness of the scientists who developed that one medication that actually works and will treat my cancer. I'm going to be thankful that he or she developed it and made it available. I think you would too. Well, why in the world should anyone get upset when Jesus tells us there's only one cure for our sin sickness, and the cure is to trust Him? Why should it bother us when the Word of God clearly says that salvation is by the grace of God through faith in Jesus Christ, and this salvation is available to all who will receive Him? It's open. That's as inclusive as anything can possibly be. For whoever will call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. We, as Christians, we're not narrow-minded. We're not being arrogantly exclusive to believe and to share with people this good news of salvation that's only found through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We're being loving. We're being truthful. We're helping people in the greatest way possible for their eternal well-being by sharing this gospel. But let's be clear about this. Jesus taught that the road to life, eternal life, it's through Him, the narrow gate. There's no other way. But look at what else He said. If your trip down this road, your trip down this way of life is going to be hard because it is a narrow road, a narrow path. Look at it, verse 14. For the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life. Jesus never promised that following Him would be easy. You know, it's wrong for you to explain the gospel to someone, for you to talk to someone about becoming a Christian and say to them or even imply to them, if they become a Christian, if they put their faith and trust in Jesus, then all their problems will be solved and their life will be so much easier. That's not true. And there's nothing in the Bible that tells us that it is true. It should cause us to even think that. Living a faithful Christian life is hard. And Jesus never in any way said it was anything less than hard. I want you to look at one thing He said in Luke chapter 9, verse 23. This just sort of summarizes it. And He said to all, if anyone would come after Me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily. Cross is an instrument of death. Die to self and follow Me. That's not how you try to build a crowd. To look at people and say, if you want to follow Me, if you want to be My disciple, you've got to deny yourself, you've got to die to yourself and live for Me. Jesus taught that following Him was a hard road for several reasons. One, it's a way of faith. Like Mainline was singing a while ago, the Christian life is a life of faith, trusting Him, depending upon Him, not trusting ourselves or someone else or something else. Not doing our best, but trusting Him because He's already done His best in dying for our sins and living a perfect life Himself. Living the Christian life is a hard life. Another reason, our focus has got to be on pleasing God and doing His will, not pleasing ourselves and doing our own will. See, the most natural comes easy to us is do what I want to do. Live for Me. Please Me. But when we come to Christ, our whole way of looking at life and living life is to change. Instead of pleasing ourselves, we're supposed to please God by doing His will. We won't read it right now, but I'd encourage you to read what Jesus said in verses 21 through 23 of this same Matthew chapter 7 about the importance of the one who does the will of God. The road of following Jesus is not easy, but it's not impossible. Here's what happens. When we put our faith in Jesus, the Spirit of God comes to live within us. The Spirit of God regenerates us, brings about a new birth, a spiritual birth. The Spirit of God comes to live within us. He changes the way that we think. He changes the desires that we have, the goals that we have. Paul summarizes it like this in Philippians chapter 2. Look at it. We've looked at it before, and as long as I live, we'll look at it because it's so important. He says in Philippians 2:13, "For it is God who works in you both to will and to work for His good pleasure." In some ways, it takes a crazy person to want to live a faithful Christian life focused on pleasing God and doing God's will instead of doing your own will. But when the Spirit of God comes to live within us, He causes us to have a desire to please God with a realization that's the best way to live life in this world. That's the way God designed me to live life. That's the way God designed for life to work best, pleasing Him and doing His will. And the Spirit of God will actually help us to do that day by day. We won't do it perfectly, but He will help us to grow and mature in the development of Christ-like character. Now, as God works in us this way, He does give us joy and satisfaction in living this way, in traveling this road. I want you to think, living a Christian life, following Christ down this road to life that He's talking about here, we have absolutely no guilt or fear that people who don't know God have, because when we come to faith in Christ, when we truly trust Him and understand what He's done for us, we know the penalty for our sins has already been paid. And we know that the righteous, perfect life of Jesus, that's credited to us. If you are trusting in Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord right now, you should understand, I am accepted by God, and it's all by His grace. It's undeserved. And it's all because I am trusting in Jesus, and my sins are no longer held against me. In fact, the perfect life of Jesus has been credited to me. So God accepts me in His Son, and there's no guilt. If you die today going home from church, if you understand who you are in Christ, there should be, you know, it's uncertain. I don't know what it feels like to die. I don't want to hurt. It may hurt. I don't know. But I have no fear, because my sins are forgiven. The righteousness of Jesus has been given to me. If I die on my way home, I'll be in heaven before you get to the dinner table. I'm not afraid. That's the benefit of trusting Christ and following Him in this world. Now, this all leads us to something else Jesus says here. You travel this road with just a few people. He says that those who find it at the end of that verse are few. God's way can never be discovered by taking a poll. His way will never be the majority opinion. Jesus has made it clear that the majority is on the road to destruction. The majority of people are on the road that leads to destruction. This helps us understand why we've got to guard against following the crowd. Boys and girls, wake up. Sometimes you want to do something, your parents tell you or somebody tells you you can't do it, and your response is, well, everybody else is doing it. And you say, well, everybody else is doing it, as if that should matter. That doesn't matter. Most people don't know God, don't care about God. Most people live life their way, not God's way. And so parents, if you're a good parent, I don't care how much your child whines and tells you everybody else is doing it, don't give in. Don't give in. Trouble is, children want to do things because everybody else is doing it, and children never outgrow it. Don't we, adults, don't we do some things simply because everybody around us is doing it? It'll make us look odd if we don't. And a lot of times we follow the crowd just as bad as children follow the crowd. Understand, in America today, and most places in the world, on the road to life, there'll always be just a few people. But there will be some. And we should be able to have meaningful relationships with our brothers and sisters in Christ. But let's move on. The final destination is what makes this journey worthwhile. Jesus used the word life in verse 14. For the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life. He's talking about a quality of life. Life as God designed it to be. It begins when we come to faith in Christ and the Spirit of God comes to live within us. But when we leave this world in death, it becomes eternal and perfect life in the presence of the Lord and Christians who have died before us. Now these are our two choices, the road to destruction and the road to life. So let's look at it again, life's ultimate decision. Which road will you choose? First, which road are you on now? Because everybody in here, we're on one or the other. Don't think about in terms of if you're a member of this church, you've been baptized, you've made some kind of quote decision. Which road are you taking, are you on right now? Are you on the road with the majority of people doing what you want to do, when you want to do it, how you want to do it, pleasing yourself? Or are you on the road seeking to please God and do His will because you trust Christ and His Spirit lives in you and that's what you really want to do? That's what really gives you joy and a sense of peace and satisfaction in this world. Which road do you want to be on? You know, this is a choice that God's people have been confronted with since the beginning. This is the choice that God's people have been confronted with throughout Scripture. I want to give you two examples from Moses. Moses, on more than one occasion, but here is a specific statement that goes along with what we're looking at. In Deuteronomy chapter 30, Moses said to the people of Israel, not pagans, the supposed people of God, I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Now choose life so that you and your children may live. Joshua said basically the same thing in chapter 24. He said, now fear the Lord and serve Him with all faithfulness. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. Joshua was a leader. He was a leader over the nation. He was a leader in his home. He set the pace. Which road will you take? We all start out on the road to destruction. That's where we're born, sinners, separated from God because we want to sin, and we do. We're on that road to destruction. We have to make a conscious decision to get off that road by admitting our sin, turning from our sin, repenting, changing our mind, grieving over it, putting our faith in Jesus, trusting Him as our Savior and Lord, calling on Him to save us, to be that Savior, to be that Lord, to be that leader of our life on the road to life. But what I want you to think right now for a moment is this road that leads to life, we need to make a decision every day, and sometimes throughout the day, to stay on that road. Because there are people and things on the road that leads to destruction. It's always getting our attention and calling our name, always tempting us. You know, the main reason why we're looking at this sermon today, because for a month or so, for whatever reason, I've been reading that passage in Deuteronomy. It actually begins in verse 11, Deuteronomy 30, 11, and this section in Joshua 24, about how Moses and Joshua repeatedly, really, call the people of Israel to make the right choice. Choose God, serve God, follow Him, do His will. Because there's always temptations to do otherwise. When you sin, you know why you sin? Because you want to. Bottom line, You sin. Every single person in this room, and I'm at the top of the list, every one of us in this room, you sin because you want to sin. At the moment, that's what you choose to do, and there's no exception. That means there's no excuse. We do, at the moment, what we want to do, what we choose to do. And we need these reminders all the time. Make right choices. Make God's choices. Which road are you on? Which road do you consistently travel? You have a choice as to which road you'll take. But always remember, the road you choose determines your eternal destination. You don't choose your eternal destination just by itself. You choose the road. You choose the path. If you choose Christ and follow Him, you will wind up in heaven. If you don't choose Christ and you continue that way, you'll spend eternity in hell. It's that simple. And where you spend eternity is determined by the path you take in life. And that's a choice you make. Make the right. Let's pray. Dear God, help us all to see that this message applies to us personally, individually. Help us to evaluate ourselves, the way that we're living, the real quality of our faith. Help us to see, dear God, which road we are on. Help us to see that our desires, our thoughts, our pursuits reveal what road we're on. And then, dear God, show us how we should respond. Show us what we should do right now to walk out of here with assurance that we're on the right road. Trusting, depending upon, loving and obeying the Lord Jesus, you, our Heavenly Father. You listen to the Lord and you respond to Him.